T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. Brad Biggs is the football man from the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a great personal friend. And Biggsy, you touch on it, you get to it, this kind of national perspective, looking in from lofty heights. Mitchell seems very small, and yet up close he seems like a giant. How is it possible that there are two different visions of him?
Yeah, it's very interesting, guys, that the perspective on Mitch Trubisky from a national standpoint and what they're saying about their second-year quarterback at Hallis Hall are vastly different. And, Trubisky hasn't been bad this year by any stretch of the imagination.
Blake Bortles of the North?
That's ridiculous.
Wow.
I have a lot of respect for Pro Football Focus, the way they measure things, but to call him the 29th rated quarterback in the NFL just seems irresponsible.
Well, I don't think they're calling him that. I think they've got their metrics in place, and that's where...
How do you measure that? I mean, there's only two, three quarterbacks worse than Mitch Trubisky in the NFL?
They only ranked 30, so he came in 29th. Yeah, and it boggles the mind. And I think part of the problem we have around here, one of the issues we face, is we haven't watched a lot of good quarterback play in Chicago. But he had three consecutive 300-yard games. The passer rating is 96.2, which is really damn good. It happens to rank 16th in the league right now, and I think part of that is because passer ratings have been on the climb a little bit. If you go back to 2010, 2008, 96.2 is going to probably firmly have you in the top 5 or 6 in terms of passer rating. Now it's middle of the pack, way better than we've seen a Bears quarterback at in a super long time. 16 touchdown passes to 7 interceptions. You can live with that. The one thing that's really interesting is when you look at completion percentage, yards, the TDs to interceptions, the rating, similar in all categories to Cam Newton. The rushing totals, very similar to Cam Newton. Cam Newton's got 40 more rushing yards and two more touchdowns, but Mitch is averaging about 3 yards more per carry. So Cam Newton's actually running the ball a lot more than Mitch. And the Panthers are 6-2, one game better than the Bears. And the storyline in Carolina is that the MVP Cam Newton is back.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling when you look at it and from that perspective, because I don't think anyone's touting Mitch for an MVP, and I don't even know that he's being touted for an MVB, Most Valuable Bear, which is a made-up category that now I'm giving away nationally.
Well, that's a coveted award for a player to receive at the end of the season as your MVB. Yeah. So he's still learning the offense. He's young. But I think the question you try to answer – instead of, some people are getting themselves all worked up in this defense of Trubisky, which I don't think is necessary here. I think the numbers defend him and acquit him against these charges nationally anyway right now. But the question that's more interesting to answer to me is, why is there this just huge, huge difference in perspective? Because I think that's what's fascinating, is that there is this huge divide between how people view him. And one of the reasons is, hey, listen, he's going to fail in any comparison to Patrick Mahomes. Okay. It's not close. Mahomes has got 1,000 more yards and Lord knows how many more touchdown passes, 13 more touchdown passes, whatever it is. So that's one issue there, but I don't think that's by itself should create the huge difference in opinion that there is.
This segment with Brad Biggs brought to you by UV Vodka. Play your 2018 Turkey Bowl at Soldier Field. Visit 670thescore.com contest page for more details. You know, Brad, I agree with you. The divisiveness, I don't get. The polarizing nature of Mitch Trubisky, I don't quite understand. I don't think he's 29th in the league, but I don't think he's probably top 10 or top half either, somewhere in between. How has he handled this sort of every week, the range of opinions, the extremism almost surrounding his progress and development? Because I think when you see him handle the public aspect of the job, which is a big part of the job, it seems like he's getting a little bit more comfortable doing that.
Yeah, I think he's handled it all right. You know, he was asked about it a little bit yesterday, and he, you know, reminded people that he had been off of social media or is mostly off of social media. He sort of hedged on that answer a little bit, which was kind of amusing. But I think he's handled it pretty well. I think he's handled it well because of the way that Matt Nagy and the Bears are handling him. You know, Nagy made it clear that the only thing that really matters for Mitch is how he feels about him. And, you know, he's happy with him, and he talks about the development. And that's what, you know, people that are sort of evaluating him from afar, that's what they miss, is the explanation of, you know, sort of where they're at in the process and what he's gotten better at in this two-month stretch and what they look to for improvement moving forward here. So I think he's handled it pretty well. Certainly them being 5-3 in first place helps out, but there's going to be a lot more pressure involved with these games in the second half of the season. There are some tougher opponents coming up on the schedule, although they've still got more than their share of doormats sprinkled in. This is a schedule that sets up well for the Bears. They've got to take care of their business.
This segment of the Mully and Haw Show brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. And Brad, obviously we saw Khalil Mack come in with no training camp, with no off season to speak of. He just walked out of LA Fitness and dominated the National Football League. Can he do it again coming off an ankle? What are your expectations for him in terms of sack totals, strip fumbles, the whole bit this weekend?
Yeah, I don't know about predicting the stats, but he's looking good. He will definitely play against the Lions on Sunday. And the Lions gave up 10 sacks and Matthew Stafford, or excuse me, 11 sacks, and Stafford was just battered left and right this past Sunday against the Vikings. So the Bears would certainly hope to get after him quite a bit. I would imagine Detroit puts extra attention on protecting their quarterback this week, so 11 might be a little bit of a lofty goal. Excuse me, lofty goal for the Bears, but certainly with Mack back in the mix, that's going to make that defense better. And the defense has played relatively well without him. They just need a little more consistent pressure. They were certainly very good last week at Buffalo, but that's a JV offense with Nathan Peterman out there.
Brad, the Bears a little beaten up at the tight end position. Adam Shaheen practices yesterday for the first time since August. What is his role, if any, on Sunday?
Yeah, I think Shaheen gives them a little more depth. Certainly with Shaheen, you're able to consider handing him some of what Deion Sims' role has been, Sims in concussion protocol. And they like Shaheen. Now, some people are of the mindset that the offense is going to look way different with him out there. I'm not quite there. We're talking about a guy that came off of 12 catches as a rookie, but I think he adds a little bit of a different element there for Matt Nagy to play with. You know, they're moving personnel in and out so much on every play that it's going to be interesting. Now, is Shaheen going to be up to speed for this game? I don't know. That would, to me, be pretty quick for him to practice Wednesday. Then you hope that he responds well today, right? And then make a roster move to have him on the 53 in time for Sunday. would seem to be a little aggressive considering all the time that he's missed. Fortunately, Ben Broniker is back at a concussion protocol, so they have him available as well. So if not this weekend, though, for Shaheen, certainly you would imagine him back here soon.
Speaking of Ben Broniker, the Lions fired their special teams coordinator. How will that be reflected in punt blocks, et cetera?
Well, yeah, the Lions have been terrible on special teams. They're getting gashed in punt coverage. They've had a whole host of issues, and this comes a year after they were pretty good on special teams. So Matt Patricia fires his special teams coordinator on Monday, says that the assistant special teams guy that they'll keep on will handle most of the duties, but he's not going to be the coordinator, and that so many of the coaches have experience in special teams in their background that they'll all sort of pitch in a little bit. I don't know how that's going to work out, but Detroit has been miserable on special teams this season. Certainly the Bears would look to have an upper hand in that area.
Tariq Cohen stepped forward yesterday. Brad talked about defending Mitch Trubisky. This guy, he likes to talk. He says a lot of things that are, I think, admirable in terms of sticking up for his teammates. He's very likable from a personality standpoint. Surprising that he's emerged as sort of a locker room leader?
No, I think that's his personality. That's his... You know, that's sort of who he is. You know, you saw real elements of that from Tariq last year as a rookie. You know, he remember Tariq let it be known shortly after his arrival that you could call him Big Daddy, right?
Yeah.
So any guy
you still do, right? Don't you?
No. Any guy that's 5'6",
right,
that goes around telling people to call him Big Daddy. Yeah, no, that doesn't surprise me that he's got sort of an emerging voice and sort of finding his spot in the locker room.
And he went on Twitter and threatened to punch Michael Lombardi in the shins or something, right?
Okay, good luck with that.
Metaphorically. All right, Big Z.
Thanks, Brad.
All right, guys, have a great day.
Yep,
that's our guy, Brad Biggs. He of the Chicago Tribune. Yeah, he's not going to take it. He's standing up for this guy.
Is he?
I don't know.
Is he standing up?
I thought that's what it was.
You have to give him credit. Tariq Cohen doesn't really back down from anything.
No. Look at what he's done in the league. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. He's, already in his second year where he played college football, and now he's as dynamic of a playmaker as the Bears have right now. Agree?
Yes, I do agree. I think that
they use him in a variety of ways. They put a lot on his plate.
Yeah.
And he's pretty much answered every question.
He's done very well.
Yeah.
And again, I mean, he doesn't need a lot of touches of the ball to have an impact. He's made the most of his opportunities.
If you're a defensive coordinator watching tape of the Bears going into Sunday,
he scares you.
Yeah.
Because you never know when they're using him. They don't use him that often, and you don't know when they're going to use him, but you know they're going to use him, and you know that he's going to make an impact.
Special teams. He can make an impact punt return as well.
There you go. I'd like to see it. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That is the voice of Mitchell Trubisky talking about his development, and we're seeing it in front of us, and we recognize that Mitch is farther along now than he was when he was managing whatever that offense was a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to be doing some things with him and trying to get him involved, and they're scheming up some stuff. And I think that if you're in Chicago, you're pretty satisfied with the first half of Mitchell Trubisky's season. And apparently nationally, you look at it and you think, boy, that's Blake Bortles over there. They're never going to be able to win with that guy.
Yeah, I don't think you're watching full games if you have that opinion. I think you're probably watching, you know, snippets here or there. You're not certainly...
Well, you haven't watched the full games the last couple of years. You know what I mean?
Like, right.
If you watch his career, you're seeing growth.
He's a middle-of-the-pack quarterback right now.
He's not there yet.
No, but you look at the numbers and, you know, he's 16th in passer rating, 19th in yards, 16th in yards per attempt, 22nd in completion percentage. These are middle-of-the-pack type numbers. What happens, though, Mully, you know it, we see it. nationally, people may jump to conclusions and overstate how dissatisfied they are because he's the number two overall pick in the draft. And they say, well, he should be better than that because other guys are. Locally, sometimes people go the other way, trying to overcompensate for the criticism and lavish praise that he hasn't earned yet either by saying he's further along than he actually is. The truth of the matter is he's somewhere in between, and this you've got to stay consistent. There's nothing sexy about saying that Mitch Trubisky is an average quarterback right now or maybe slightly above average, middle of the pack, because that's not great and that's not terrible. But right now, he is neither great nor terrible.
312-644-6767. Let's try John. He's in the western suburbs. Hey, John.
Hey, John.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
All right. Detroit got smoked last week, and their quarterback took a beating.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If I'm the Detroit defensive coordinator this week, I'm looking at the Bears. We've seen film. And the thing is, if you can take – if the Bears' running game so far this year – hasn't been depended on because of Nagy's scheme that he's trying to run here. But so Detroit can, you know, block up the middle of the line more, like with the linebacker and the safety coming up, and force the Bears to throw 25 to 30 times. And if their corners are good enough to take away one of his weapons, Detroit can come in and beat us.
Anybody can beat anybody. It's you know, when you're talking about division opponents, I mean, look at Detroit. They got a very highly paid quarterback. Overpaid, I believe he was called by Rich Gannon earlier in the week. But he once was, and I mean within the last year, the most expensive quarterback in football. They're paying Matthew Stafford a lot of money. They got a new coach in that's supposed to help their defense. He's a defensive-minded head coach. Matt Patricia, you would think that the rocket scientist would be no slouch, but apparently no slouching is allowed, and that was way too big a headline leading into last week. They've traded away one of their weapons in terms of the receiving core, and I don't know what message that may have sent. I don't know what kind of message. That's what he said to a reporter. Come on, really? Like, do me a favor. Like, how? Hey, coach, do me a favor. Concern yourself with winning instead of the posture of a media member.
Yeah, well, okay. How about coaching professionally? That was a bit bushy.
Can you turn your hat around?
But the Lions are dangerous, and the problem with an inconsistent quarterback like Stafford is that he can be just as good as he looks bad, and he can be just as dangerous because he gets on a streak. He's got the talent. The talent has never been a question with Matthew Stafford. It's keeping it together week after week, and he has been very good against the Bears, as we pointed out, 10-6 lifetime. So this is not a game to be taken lightly. This is not an opponent to overlook. You're not waiting on the Vikings. You're not waiting on anything. As Matt Nagy said the other day, now it gets real. Now you find out what the Bears are all about. You get into the division. You're not playing Nathan Peterman anymore. You're not playing Sam Darnold anymore.
Right. You're playing a real quarterback who's paid a lot of money. He is a really interesting type of player because he is sort of a gunslinger type quarterback. This is a different animal than you usually see. It's not one of these young guys kind of figuring out the league. He's now a veteran player who is capable of throwing the ball from these bizarre arm angles. He's got a gun for an arm, and he's going to, you know, maybe he'll throw the ball up for you. Maybe he'll hold the ball too long and take a sack. But maybe he'll make a huge play down the field, and you got to be wary of it.
Absolutely.
And now you get Mac back, and I would expect David, again, we don't know what condition he's in terms of whether or not – I think he's going to be in fine physical condition, but he hasn't played in basically a month. He hasn't played healthy in a month in 5 weeks basically, right? Is that fair to say? It's been 4 weeks of games. He got injured in the Miami game, but they had the bye week leading into that. I just don't know where he's going to be. I don't know where the explosiveness is going to be with Khalil Mack. But when he's on the field, I would imagine he'll be a hell of a lot better than he was the last time we saw him against New England, where he was being dominated by people
in
because he
coverage.
Wasn't able to play.
This is a guy that walked out of skipped training camp, walked off a plane. Walked out of LA Fitness, and then he wreaked havoc on the Green Bay Packers eight days later. So,
that's right.
I understand.
But is he explosive? Can he get off?
Yeah.
Is his get off the ankle
The one thing about Khalil Mack is his explosiveness is a thing, but so is his power. You know, he can, if you're not having
Isn't that the same thing, though?
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, you to know, some degree it is.
Part of it is leverage. He's a low leverage guy. He's getting underneath people and he's driving them.
Sure.
I mean, David, it's his will. I get it.
It is his will and his presence. And I think the other thing that we overlook, too, Mully, not to over look, the Lions, when they're rolling, they're running the football well. And that's the difference in this team is their emphasis on the run. And you see them able to do that when they have won. Now, if the Bears can stop the run and make them one-dimensional, then we're talking about the 3-5-7 sack game, right? But now, if you mix in the balance, then it's a little bit harder to predict run versus pass. So they need to worry about stopping the run. And Khalil Mack can be very good against the run, too. So that's why his presence matters, too.
Yeah, I was wondering if that was part of the move when they ended up trading Golden Tate, not only past this season, was, well, are they kind of heading towards a running team with Kerryon Johnson, the way he had a
Kerryon Johnson's been very good.
Yeah.
We're going to bring Dave Richard into the conversation. We'll talk a little fantasy football. We'll ask Dave how he measures this game in terms of who to take in it. And is Mitch another must play because he is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL?
Ceilings.
Yeah. It sounded like you said ceilings basement. Ceiling is the floor. I thought it was filings basement.
It is.
Feelings?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, whatever it is, Dave Richard will join us next. If you have a fantasy question, 312-644-6767 is the telephone number. And sit up when you phone in. slouching as you drive. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Dave Richard is our fantasy expert, Chicago guy made good, and you can catch Dave and the rest of the CBS Sports Fantasy crew on CBS Sports HQ streaming live 24/7 on anything that gets Wi-Fi for the latest sports news, highlights, and smart analysis. It's all free at CBSSportsHQ.com or on the free CBS Sports app. Good morning, Dave. How are you,
morning,
buddy?
Dave.
Mully, David, great to talk to both of you as always. And when's the last time that Chicago's been this excited about the Bears? It's before John Fox, before Mark Trestman. It's the Lovie Smith era, right? That's the last time that this team was
Trestman.
5-3 at midseason with Mark Trestman too, Dave.
Nah, I don't remember that. And it went way back after that.
Yeah, it was all blocked out. So, Dave, here come the Lions fresh off of a 10 or 11 sacks against Matthew Stafford. Who do you like from a fantasy perspective? And we're hearing a lot of criticism of Mitch nationally, unfortunately. But who do you like in this game? Do you like Khalil Mack coming back for maybe 5 sacks? I don't know. How many sacks?
Minimum 5 sacks for Khalil Mack against the Lions. But the defense is good, and they're locked into fantasy lineups anyway. But offensively, I think this is another game that sets up perfectly for Jordan Howard to get fed the rock a lot and to have a big game. That might not be so great for Tariq Cohen, but you know what Cohen can do. One big catch can lead to a long touchdown, and all of a sudden his day is made, Mitchell Trubisky's day is made. And I think Anthony Miller continues to step up. I know that Allen Robinson is expected back, but Miller's going to play in that slot role for Chicago. And that's where the Lions have had a very hard time covering wide receivers. So I would look for them to scheme things up for Miller. They'll scheme up a little bit for Trey Burton, too. But Miller specifically, when they get in the red zone, don't be surprised if 2 or 3 passes go his way in an attempt to score a touchdown. And then on the other side of the ball for Detroit, there really isn't a whole lot to love there. Stafford's a no-go. Kerryon Johnson, their rookie running back, is sharing the ball with 2 other guys. He's not going to be great running into the teeth of this Bears defense. Kenny Golladay and Marvin Jones have potential. I think the Lions are going to have to play from behind and throw a lot. It's probably going to mean some turnovers for Matthew Stafford. One of those 2 wide receivers will probably be okay. My money is on Jones.
All right, Dave, your public awaits you. Mike in Aurora starts it off with Dave Richard. You're on the score.
Hey, good morning. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Dave, I had a quick question about a flex player. I'm looking at Matt Breida versus New York Giants or Alshon Jeffrey versus the Cowboys. I mean, thank you.
It's a little bit of a tougher matchup for Alshon, but I'll take him against Dallas. Philadelphia, clearly a passing team at this point. And I just don't think the 49ers want to trust Matthew Breida for more than, let's call it 13 or 14 touches per game. He had his first 15-touch game a couple of weeks ago of his career, by the way. and he only delivered like 4 or 5 fantasy points. It was really a disappointing game. He's not at 100%. He's not going to get every single touch. And San Francisco, Alfred Morris will work the goal line, kind of like what LeGarrette Blount will do for the Lions. And that's part of the reason why we don't like Kerryon Johnson this week. So Alshon Jeffery just has much more potential to help your fantasy team win.
Well, you know, we forgot to ask. You look at a signing, a late-season signing, mid-season signing like Dez Bryant. Is that an opportunity? Dez, a shadow of his former self, but certainly a guy that can do some things, and you got a really accurate passer. I don't know that he'll be able to figure out the offense, but I think Breeze can throw to him.
Yeah, I mean, it helps that Drew Brees is the quarterback, but I'm not that excited about Dez because I'm not sure how much the Saints are going to throw the football week in and week out. For example, when they go on the road, especially in a game like this week where they're playing at Cincinnati, they're outdoors, I don't know if they're going to necessarily put the ball in the air 40, 45 times. I want to say absolutely positively have to, and this week against Cincinnati, now that A.J. Green's not playing, I don't think they're going to have to. So I think that's a game where they'll focus on Kamara and Ingram. Dez is going to be a touchdown-dependent wide receiver. I don't think he's going to score every week. I think the only time, and I'm looking at their schedule right now, there's one game that he might have circled, week 13 at Dallas. Yeah, I'm thinking that that's going to be a game that Dez Bryant comes through for fantasy owners then. Let's put it this way. I have not picked up Dez Bryant in any of my leagues.
All right, Dave,
I'm not expecting a lot.
Texter wants to know, Andrew Luck or Big Ben?
I'm going to go with Roethlisberger. I think he has a good game tonight. I think we're going to get treated to a fun, high-scoring game. And Roethlisberger's going up against Carolina. Luck's going up against Jacksonville. I would say that the matchup favors Roethlisberger.
Let's try Josh. He's in Freeport. Josh, you're on with Dave Richard.
Hey, Dave. I got a half-point PPR league. I'm looking at Greg Olsen against Pittsburgh or O.J. Howard against Washington.
Let's go with O.J. Howard. If the catches count, I think he'll have just a little bit more of an edge. And I think Tampa Bay, just by the nature of what they do, is throw the football all over the place. I'm not sure if Washington's going to have the manpower to stop O.J. Howard when they've got all these other pass catchers in Tampa Bay. I like them both a lot. They're both top 5 tight ends for me this week. But I'll give the nod to Howard over Olsen.
Garrett in Naperville, you're on the score with Dave Richard.
What's up, guys? Touchdown-dependent league, so yardage really isn't significant. Tight end, Hooper versus Cleveland, or Jack Doyle versus Jacksonville?
Let's go with Doyle. I just think that he's going to get his hands on more targets as the game goes on, and that gives him more opportunities, especially in the red zone. Jacksonville's going to have a hard time containing both him and Eric Ebron. I think Ebron is going to just not get as many targets. That's what we've seen so far this season when the two have played together. Doyle's had 10 more targets in 3 games, and I think he just has the better chance to score versus Hooper, who sometimes gets lost in Atlanta's offense.
Let's try Mark. He's in Barrington. Mark, you are on with Dave Richard.
Hey, guys. PPR league, Mike Evans or Keenan Allen?
Love both those guys this week. I think they both have a chance to do well. They're both top 10 for me, but I'm going to take Mike Evans against Washington. Again, going to lean on Tampa Bay. Throwing the ball 35-plus times, that's typically what they do. Evans should bounce back after the dud that he had last week.
630 Texter wants to know, Dave, they need to waiver wire pick up a quarterback. Trubisky, Mariota, Alex Smith, or Dak Prescott?
What kind of league has Mitchell Trubisky on their waiver wire? He's been playing so well. Of course that's the one to go with. Trubisky out all the way against Detroit. Yes, please.
I think that was Mike Lombardi texting in.
Wow. David.
Mike Lombardi, please.
Yeah. David's on the road. David, you're on with Dave Richard.
Hey, I got a PPR league. I need a wide receiver two, Julian Edelman or Tyler Boyd. And then that leads into my flex. The other options for my flex are Adrian Peterson, Aaron Jones, Mark Ingram, and then those receivers. Thanks.
I'm going to go with those receivers. I think Boyd and Edelman are the way to go because it's PPR. If it were non-PPR, I would put Aaron Jones in ahead of Julian Edelman. I don't love the matchup for Edelman, but we know what he does week in and week out when it comes to catching the football. And I just think he's got a higher floor than Aaron Jones does this week in PPR.
Charlie and Beverly, you're on the score with Dave Richard.
Hey, I got a flex decision. I need to decide Isaiah Crowell versus Buffalo, Allen Robinson, Sterling Shepard, or Anthony Miller.
Wow, what a group. I think Shepard is probably the one with the absolute most upside, and the reason why is because he's playing against San Francisco. Their secondary isn't very good. I don't think he's going to line up much from Richard Sherman, and I think the Giants are going to have to continue to throw the ball a lot, and it's going to be a lot of that quick passing that Eli Manning does, and that does help Sterling Shepard out.
All righty, Dave. Thank you, buddy. Great catching up as always.
Thanks, Dave.
You got it, guys, and enjoy. You've got the Lions twice in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
How exciting. That?
It's NFC North time for the schedule. How awesome.
Yeah, you get to see a bunch of Matt Patricia on the sideline. That's always fun to look at.
Yeah, we got to sit up and take notice. All right, buddy. Thank you so much. That's our guy, Dave Richard. We have breaking news. We have breaking news. There are reports that Notre Dame quarterback Ian Book will be out this week.
Yeah, against Florida State. He suffered a rib injury against Northwestern, didn't make a lot out of it. We didn't know a lot about it, but apparently he is going to miss, according to various reports, including The Athletic, the game against Florida State. This is a big loss. I mean, this is talking about a guy that leads the country in completion percentage, 15 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. The difference in this Notre Dame season is when they went from Winbush to Ian Book, and they'll miss him. So you don't know how much. This is not the same Florida State team that you're used to seeing.
Right.
But still.
Florida State's down. We understand that. But the rib injury has his status in doubt. And again, David, I think it's important to remember that quarterback change. One of the great things about their season is that it was not predicated on anything other than this guy can play better than the other guy. It's hard to make change when you're in a season and you're having success. They did it, and it's turned them into a different team.
Yeah,
exactly.
Brian Kelly's probably one of his best moves he's ever made at Notre Dame in terms of personnel because of the impact it's made. Ian Book makes everybody around him better. He just seemed to have this sort of calmness about the offense, and also at the same time, you know, he's a leader, and I think that the efficiency was there. He took a shot against Northwestern, knocked the wind out of him. After the game, he didn't really reveal too much, but it looks like, college injuries are difficult to monitor because they don't have the daily injury report. But this is for the third-ranked team, according to the College Football Playoff poll, in the country, this is not insignificant just because they're playing a team they should beat.
And Ian Book being out means that Brandon Wimbush is back behind center. And here's a guy that, is obviously a great runner as a quarterback, not so much a great thrower. I believe, what is he, 4 interceptions to 1 touchdown?
Yeah, and he's not going to be a great passer. But you know what? This is why you have depth. He's started 16 games over 2 seasons, Mully. He was very good at times last year. He can be explosive. So athletically, he's not going to be overwhelmed. The moment you don't think will be too big for Brandon Wimbush. So this is a good opportunity for him to show how much he has been engaged, because that's been an impressive thing about him. He's been demoted, but still a big part of this team.
All righty. 312-644-6767 is the telephone number. We've got a lot of baseball news that is breaking. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the goings on at the GM meetings. We'll bring in Bruce Levine next hour from Los Angeles. We'll also get a chance to talk about Jim Hickey, the rumors about Jim Hickey building.
And that segment with Dave Richard was brought to you by Webb Ford. Searching for a great deal in Fords in Chicago, visit Webb Ford in Highland, Indiana.
It's Mully and Haw. It's Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.